9:10, 18:10 a.m. hour. Of course, we took a break for news, other features, obituaries, messages from our valued supporters and underwriters. And what does that mean? Well, it means that it's time for a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Dr. Ron Feinman joining me live from his domicile in Boca Raton, Florida, where it's probably a little warmer than it is here. We've had a preview of fall over the last couple of days. I mean, having lived in northern New York for several years, I don't think 60 degrees is cold, but some people may beg to differ, especially since it was 90 just a few days ago. Marion, of course, having the popcorn festival over the weekend. It's been a busy few days. Took a break for Labor Day last week. Many topics, Ron. You know, in one day we have enough to fill a couple of shows, but of course...
It's good morning, Adam. I was going to say that never as the week goes by, there's nothing to talk about. There's too much to talk about.
Yeah, normally I have to sit and watch the clock before the boss complains that it's getting too late. Well, actually, I'm one of the bosses, so I kind of complain to myself, but that's okay. First, yeah. I mean, not a happy story, but one we need to cover. Tomorrow, Ron, 9/11 would have happened 17 years ago, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I just think about people I know who were not born before 9/11 or were wearing diapers at that time. Really amazing how 17 years flies and how the world has changed. And now it's almost a generation ago, 17 years ago.
Yes.
Any thoughts as we get ready to commemorate this tragedy, which occurred exactly 17 years ago tomorrow?
Well, it's an event that we will never forget, just like December 7th, 1941, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. But that... as horrible as that was not on the mainland of the United States, although it was terrible. This was right in New York and Washington, D.C., and it transformed America in a way that it will never go back to the way it was before September 11, 2001. So I always tell my students, I started a new course, that I said at the beginning of the 20th century, on September 14th, 1901, President William McKinley, who had been shot on September 6th, died on September 14th in Buffalo, New York. Theodore Roosevelt became president, and a new generation came in, and a whole new attitude came in about the presidency. And now, 100 years later, on September 11th, almost to the day, just three days difference, 2001, again, we had a transformational event, probably even more so. And now we are living in a time of an imperial presidency where the presidency seems to many people to be running amok. So it all fits in September 14th, 1901, right to September 11th, 2001, to September 11th, 2018. At a time when indeed Trump wants to figure out who sent that anonymous editorial to the New York Times and wants Jeff Sessions to indeed prosecute and find out and prosecute a person for their freedom of speech, which is alarming to say the least.
It's a busy time and some stories we can giggle about and some that are very serious that we need to cover, but they certainly aren't necessarily happy ones.
Yes.
Again, two of the main news stories that seem to have flourished since we last got together on the WGH microphones. We can call this Sneakergate, or, you know, up in the Midwest, people might call them tennis shoes or athletic shoes. So back in the East Coast, I call them sneakers or whatever you want to call them, Nikes, and that also includes Converse. And I would like to mention I'm a aficionado of Converse. I also like New Balance, and I understand Nike owns Converse. Bottom line is the Colin Kaepernick.
I have New Balance, by the way, so you and I have that in common. Yeah. New Balance is good, yeah.
The Colin Kaepernick situation, the Nike commercials, it certainly caused a lot of talk on the internet. And what I'll say is, Ron, I'm not in full agreement with Kaepernick. I have mixed opinions. But I will say that and I've said this before.
You are moderate. You are centrist. That's why.
If I were to boycott every company whose political beliefs weren't consistent with mine, I don't think I'd have any clothes or any food. I'd be very hungry and I'd be naked because there would be nothing for me to buy. Now, granted, there are some companies that are...
Chick-fil-A.
Right, and Chick-fil-A is an example that are blatantly against things that I and most Americans feel, Chick-fil-A being one of them.
I like their food.
I do like their food, but believe me, I'm not saying I haven't eaten there or won't eat there again, but I don't feel overly comfortable walking into one. But a full boycott is something different. There are different guidelines we have to follow. And again, we can't look at the political beliefs of every company, but some are just so blatantly on what I feel the wrong side of the fence, I don't have much of a choice. But this Nike issue, it is a controversial one. And I hear people talking about how their products are made in sweatshops in Asia with workers making 25 cents an hour, which seems kind of hypocritical. So the whole thing is very complicated. And I guess maybe I'm just lazy, but I'm not sure I want to devote what seems to be a lifetime worth of research to decide exactly where I should sit, because honestly, I see myself sitting on both sides of the fence. I don't fully agree with Nike. I don't agree with Kaepernick. I think a lot of what he does is a publicity stunt. But I do admire him for being outspoken and standing his ground. That I do admire, but the actual thing that he's doing, I have very mixed opinions on. But bottom line is, I do like Converse, which I believe is owned by Nike, and I'll continue to wear them. And I'll, you know me, Ron, I'll tell jokes about them also, because I never take myself or the world around us too seriously. I think laughter is the best medicine. But bottom line, are you kind of with me, Ron? Yeah, Chick-fil-A and a small number of companies are so blatantly on the wrong side of the fence. We will boycott, or what you might say, partially boycott them. But would you agree that, again, if we were to look at the political beliefs of every company out there, we would find something we don't agree with, and we probably wouldn't have any clothes or any food or anything else, because no one's going to ever be in full agreement with us.
Yeah, well, one thing I find crazy is the people who disagree with Colin Kaepernick and have Nike, in some cases, have burned their shoes. I mean, why, if you don't want to do it, throw it out. But why would you, one person supposedly, I don't know if it's true, now I'm gathering it might not be true, supposedly one person set his sneakers on fire and put his whole house on fire.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure if it's correct. I've had some people tell me it's not true. But, I mean, people go fanatical. If you don't like something, throw it out. Don't do it. But you don't have to start destruction and start a fire if indeed that's been happening.
Some of this is totally ridiculous. And I kind of like the meme that says, well, if you don't want your Nikes, Nikes are expensive and they're nice shoes, donate them to one of the homeless veterans that you claim to care so much about. And I guess that I kind of giggle at, but I think it's true. Don't donate them.
Or at the worst, you don't want to throw it in the garbage, but don't do destruction.
Yeah, the whole idea of just burning something, like when LeBron James went from Cleveland to Miami, they were burning his jerseys. I mean, come on. I mean, being an environmentalist, burning causes pollution, and it's not good for the environment. I really have no problem with people saying, okay, we're mad at LeBron, we'll just not wear his jerseys. But again, donate them. There are someone of lesser means than yourself who could wear the item and isn't really going to care. They just want a shirt on their back, so to speak. Donate the item.
Yes.
But don't burn it. There just are better ways. I guess, pun intended, act your age, not your shoe size. See, when I tell a pun accidentally, I actually don't apologize. I think it's actually a very good pun. But yes, act your age, not your shoe size. Come on, people.
Yes, unless you're Donald Trump, who has been called supposedly by James Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, a fifth or sixth grader, according to Bob Woodward's book, which is coming out tomorrow, the 11th, and has already had some information given out. And he, of course, says it's all made up. But supposedly, Bob Woodward has tons of hours of tapes. I assume he will release them and will hear these people saying the things they're saying. And then what is he going to do? Fire everybody?
Of course, we'll get to the blogs you've published recently on your website, theprogressiveprofessor.com. But the other story we want to talk about, and one that we probably are in, close to 100% agreement on, is this Kavanaugh person who is, as far as I see it, from what I'm hearing, including his comments about abortion and birth control, I try to be open-minded. As I say, I do think he's smart. I mean, not a lot of common sense or a lot of milk of human kindness, so to speak, but he's book smart. He is well spoken.
He's smart.
He has a pretty smile.
Nice family, but that's not the way you pick a Supreme Court judge.
Based on his beliefs, his beliefs on a person's right to control his or her own body, and this relates to men, not just women, and his belief that the president does not appear to have to follow the law. I'll sort of borrow what Donald Trump said, is that he's not qualified to be dog catcher. He's qualified, I don't know, maybe to clean my toilet, because that's about what I feel about this guy right now. I am offended as an American by what he has to say. And listener, if that offends you, I'm sorry. Where I come from, the United States is one where everybody is welcome. Again, you have to follow the law and you have to get into the United States legally. Things that I've brought up that Ron and I may not agree with totally, but agree with, I would think, 90%. But Kavanaugh doesn't seem to believe that. The president has to follow the law. And if he, and I don't understand, yes, he is smart, but how he even got through law school not understanding that. In addition, his beliefs about birth control and abortion are very extreme.
Well, even gay people, marriage and gay rights.
Even people who do not agree with myself and Ron about those issues would find it to be extreme. And I'm offended by that. Kavanaugh should not be on the Supreme Court. And I think if he is, there will be such divisiveness among all the jurors. We have the more left-leaning ones like Ginsburg and Sotomayor. I mean, I might find Sotomayor admittedly a little too far to the left, but I think she is fair and she's very smart. And I do support her being on the court. I was happy to have her on when she was nominated and successfully confirmed. But Kavanaugh, no way. He shouldn't be on the court. And if he gets confirmed, Ron, we have someone who doesn't think the president should have to follow the law. There's no other way to say it. And how far can this go with Trump?
Case brought against Trump, and that he should recuse himself, like Justice Rehnquist, who had been in the Nixon Department of Justice, and then came to the court, recused himself in U.S. versus Richard Nixon. So they voted 8-0 that Nixon had to hand over the Watergate tapes, and Rehnquist, then just Associate Justice, recused himself. At the least, he should recuse himself, but he has not indicated. He said it's all hypothetical. That's always what he says.
I think Kavanaugh thinks he's above the law, too. And I feel very strongly about this. My opinion about him wasn't exactly a positive one when I heard about him. I did think he was well-spoken. I mean, things that you do like. I say the same thing about Obama. I am anything but a fan of his, but he is very well-spoken and very smart. But Obama would never think that he or someone in a high government office like the president would be above the law. He knows much better than that. And I see Kavanaugh.
And the problem is, being on the Supreme Court, you're there for up to 30, 35 years, not 8 like a president. So in some ways, a person on the court has more power and ability to do damage than a president because he's there for 3, 4, 5 presidents or more.
And your job as a justice on the Supreme Court is to interpret the Constitution and being thought of as a scholar. And I don't question his intelligence, but he is stretching the limits of what he's allowed to do. And he's just one big conflict of interest. We have a president under investigation nominating a Supreme Court justice who doesn't think the president has to follow the same set of laws that you or I do. And that's probably why he was nominated to begin with. And as an American,
it does seem that we've...
I'm not comfortable with that at all. Am I being too...
Yeah, also, the fact that he was on the Ken Starr investigation of Bill Clinton, not defending Bill Clinton, but he was out to get all the details of the sexual activity of Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky in gross detail, and they have it all in that report from 1998, and that's disgusting. And also, he was involved with the issue of torture under George W. Bush, because he was the secretary in the White House at that time. He is a rolling conflict of interest, because he's a very political type, who also... Now learns apparently back in 1998 when they were going after Bill Clinton and Ken Starr, he was in meetings with other people, including people on Fox News Channel now, like Tucker Carlson and people like that. And he used the B word about Hillary Clinton 20 years ago. Can you imagine that? I was stunned.
Right.
So
well,
I mean, the more I read about it, it's like, oh my God, this is a true monster of an appointment.
Yeah, I mean, although I do like Hillary, and that was not very cool, and it was sexist. Honestly, it's not nearly as bad as how Kavanaugh feels about the president and his or her necessity to follow the law. And again, this reproductive freedom, apparently confusing birth control with abortion. I really kind of wonder about this guy. He seems, hate to use the term, a little wacko. And that's
also he doesn't believe in any, he doesn't seem to care about people being pushed off health care who are disabled and all that. He's against Obamacare. Again, Obamacare's got faults, but it looks like he's willing to do what Trump and the Republicans are doing, destroy health care for millions and don't have an alternative. Come up with an alternative if you're going to get rid of it.
Now, unlike the president, Ron, a Supreme Court justice cannot be impeached or fired, right? We could have...
He can be impeached.
It can
be impeached. Only one has ever been impeached,
right.
Samuel Chase in 1805, and found not guilty. There was some talk of William O. Douglas being impeached in 1970 because he had his fourth wife, each one of them younger, and he was accused of immorality, which is funny, by Strom Thurmond, who was not yet marrying a younger woman, but later decided, maybe I'll marry a younger woman, and he had 5 kids with her at an old age, and also by Congressman Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford also was talking about impeaching, but they talked about it. They did not pursue it, and it did not go to a vote in the House. But the only one ever was Justice Chase in 1805 under Jefferson.
But it certainly is possible, and I will see this as being
possible. But to get a two-thirds vote to convict and remove, again, unlikely. Extremely unlikely.
Well, we could have after Trump, because you know how we always seem to get, you know, liberal, conservative. We kind of go back, and forth. And we certainly,
yes,
we've seen that with Bush number two, Obama, and Trump. I mean, it seems to have, and people, you kind of rebound. It's almost like a relationship. You go out with somebody and it doesn't work out, or
yes,
you kind of lose interest, and you pick someone who's kind of the opposite or different, but similar in some ways. So,
yeah,
I mean, there are similarities, I think, with Bush and Obama. They're both well spoken. I would say Obama sounds more intellectual, but George W. Bush was a gentleman.
Well, and of course, Obama is great, and he also spoke this past week, coming out against the Republicans, first time he really has done it, and giving a speech that, according to Trump, he fell asleep. That is ridiculous. It's rather that he doesn't have the intellectual capability to listen to it, and what Obama has to say, because he thinks he's from Kenya and that he's illegitimate.
Okay, well, that certainly is an interesting discussion topic. I wouldn't expect Obama and Trump to be best buds. They probably could barely tolerate each other on the same planet. We'll probably leave it at that. But it is possible, yeah, Ron, that Kavanaugh could get confirmed, and we could have some very liberal presidents to follow. And that might also be part of a liberal Congress, as we're seeing Congress getting a little more,
yes,
little more Democratic. So it is a possibility,
yes,
but the best
only
way
that,
is just...
Also, the country is moving to the left, I think, at least a bit. And the future, whether people like it or not, is we're not going to be a white majority America in 25 years. We're going to be a brown, not black, but brown majority, as they say. And we're going to have a very liberal, more liberal, probably, government, except for the Supreme Court, which means it'll be like it was in the Gilded Age, late 19th century, and in the early New Deal before it changed. And it's going to be way behind the times, and it's going to cause real conflict in the future if the courts are very one-sided against how the trend of the country is in the future with the future generations. I'm very concerned about that.
Sounds like you and I, Ron, and you and Scott will have lots of things to talk about in this tumultuous
yes, I look forward to speaking with Scott sometime soon again, yes.
Tumultuous earth that we call home. But bottom line is, do you feel that my assessment of Kavanaugh, am I being a little too harsh? I mean, calling him a wacko, is that unacceptable? Or do you kind of agree with me?
I think, of course, he comes across well on the surface. So it's just like you have a date. You might say, ooh, looks good, seems nice, and then you really get to know them.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I would say first impression is interesting, and then, oh boy, no.
maybe the expression wolf in sheep's clothing might sum it up. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I've used that, I think. Maybe either on the Progressive Professor on Facebook, I said he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Yeah.
Okay.
He really is. Only the last few days I've had a time to analyze. Also, I'm upset that this Parkland, Florida parent who lost his daughter wanted to say hello to him, and he refused to do so. He backed away. And after he has a daughter around the same age as the girl who died, and then had the security not allow him back in after the break, and Dianne Feinstein had invited this Parkland parent to the to the hearing. So to me, at the least, somebody should have said, why did you act that way? And really, you should at least agree to meet him, shake his hand, and listen to him for 5 minutes and be decent. And that to me was really a turnoff that he wouldn't do that at the time. And apparently he's not going to do it.
I tell you, Ron, a week away from the show, and you're quite enthusiastic and even more so than usual, but there's so many things to talk about. It's hard
really?
Not to get excited about, and not necessarily excited in a good way, just intense about some of the stuff that we feel strongly about because we find it to be.
Well, it's 6 days ago. It was Tuesday of last week this happened, and now it's Monday. Yeah, so, but it still annoys me no end because he lost his daughter. Whatever you feel, show a little compassion and a little empathy and at least say hello and say, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. That's all that's required. Speak to him for 2 minutes, but he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. We are speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman from his domicile in Boca Raton, Florida, about current events, President Donald Trump, judge, and hopefully not Supreme Court Justice, Brett Kavanaugh, and a few other interesting folks. Before we get to some of your blog topics, again, please do read and bookmark his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. I saw you post on Facebook about someone we like to talk about, and that would be Ben Sass, or I call him Sassy, but I think it's actually Sass. But that
Sass,
he is,
yes,
again, perhaps one of the most intelligent people ever to sit in Congress. He was a former university president, has a PhD in history, kind of a lot like Dr. Feinman himself.
I can relate to him, except for that he's a conservative. Otherwise, I think he's very fascinating and interesting.
And we both, and economically, I probably would
challenge it to Trump or Pence. Yeah.
Economically, I probably would be in favor of most of what he has to say. Even Ron would coincide. I mean, with some of his economic beliefs, but socially, he's just way too conservative. But he's not, out of lack of a better term, wacko like Kavanaugh. He's not going to confuse birth control and abortion because they're not the same thing.
Although, but he is anti-abortion.
Yes, but at least he understands that a birth control pill.
Although I must say that I have an entry about Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who supposedly are pro-choice, but they always bend and vote for the nominees that are pro-life. And now Murkowski is under pressure because of Alaskan natives that would be affected by the viewpoints of Kavanaugh. And Susan Collins is getting, flack in Maine. I'm hoping if they both voted no against him, and also Dan Sullivan, the other Alaska senator, because of the issue of the native, Eskimos and the native, the natives in Alaska. And if every red state Democrat votes no, then he will not be confirmed. But it's going to require at least two Republicans and every red state Democrat, even the ones in Indiana, Joe Donnelly or North Dakota, Heidi Heitkamp or Joe Manchin in West Virginia or Missouri and Claire McCaskill, they all have to vote against him. And I don't know if it's going to happen. Probably not.
We shall see. But what I was going to say about Ben Sasse was that you indicated that he might be switching to the Democratic Party. Now, he would be a socially conservative Democrat, and you said we would welcome him. It's interesting.
Well, we welcome, but he might also just be an independent capital I, like a Bernie Sanders or the Maine senator. I can't think of his name right now. The senator in Maine that's also independent. He could become an independent. I don't know if he would become a Democrat, but he's not very happy with the Republican Party.
I think he
said, we'll welcome you with arms, into the party.
Yeah. Intellectually, I don't see him really as having anything in common.
Angus King in Maine is the other independent. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In common with Trump, both of their names have five letters. I'm not sure if Trump can count that high, but I'm sure Dr. Sasse.
Does Obama have five?
Yeah, well, Dr. Sasse, meaning Ben Sasse, again, he is a PhD. I'm sure he can count to five and probably a lot higher. But
he's very intellectual.
It's unusual to
watching him.
I mean, a lot of the Southern-type Democrats are socially more to the right, but he would be far socially to the right and probably kind of middle of the road and everything else. And I don't see him as like Joe Lieberman, who kind of went back and forth, but he was always kind of in the middle anyway. So bottom line is, with political parties, I've always been an independent. I don't even understand the whole concept. I think of it as kind of like a franchise where you have to have support from donors and the people that generally side with you if you're running for a really high office. But you can still be an independent, especially if you're a mayor or something where it is more of a nonpartisan type of an office. I brought up Mayor Scott Schertzer here in Marion. He seems to me to be kind of nonpartisan. Yes, he's a Democrat, even though Marion traditionally is a bit more Republican. But it's like, is the mayor of a city like Marion, is that really an office that has a political party? I really don't see it that way. But your senators, Sherrod Brown, for example, he's obviously a very traditional Democrat. We have a governor who's kind of a moderate Republican. He's moderated a lot since I first knew about him. And of course,
I think Kasich
exactly.
are the two major threats to Trump.
Whereas, when Pence was governor of our neighbor Indiana, he was very traditionally Republican. So I guess it kind of depends. In some kind of offices, you can kind of have one party, but seem like an independent. That's kind of how I look at Schertzer. I just don't see him as being from either party. Yes, he's officially a Democrat, but does it really mean anything when you want to make the city like Marion the best it can be? Is that really a partisan kind of an issue? But with Pence, Pence is obviously a very much Republican. And we have Trump, again, as we talked about with Sasse, he's a Republican, although he's definitely different from what we would expect out of Republicans. And he's, in many ways, caused alienation of other Republicans, including Ben Sasse, who's looking at being an independent or even a Democrat, despite being rather conservative in many ways. So it's kind of how politics is. Just when you think you figured things out, you get thrown a curve and a few more curves after that. But Ron, do you see Sasse as almost being like Lieberman, where you're not quite sure what party he is, but you kind of know what his beliefs are, or are they kind of different in that way?
Well, I think he's evolved. I think he was a real Republican, but now he's becoming If anything, he's more like a traditional Republican conservative of the past before Trump came along and before Newt Gingrich started to create conflict, because I think he's the real villain in Congress that started the real split that makes for no possible negotiation, no compromise, total polarization. So I think he's more like fits more into the 70s or 80s Republican Senate than now.
So almost say he's more like Nixon, again, prior to the scandal. In some ways, he and Nixon are similar.
Somewhat, yeah. But it's hard to really, I'd say Nixon is even further back, but he was very divisive on the communism issue right away in Congress. So I don't think he was as moderate as you think. I think he was a conservative right-winger for his time. Today, he would not be. Today, he would not be. And in fact, I'm writing an article I'm going to try to get History News Network to take that says Donald Trump is no Richard Nixon, and show how much difference there is between Richard Nixon and Donald Trump. And there's a vast amount of difference. But that's looking back after it all. But in the early 50s and late 40s, he was as divisive a figure, Nixon, in the House and Senate as you could possibly be. But then he became sort of like more centrist to the right, as he was vice president and then running for president with Goldwater against him, and then Reagan also, but he was seen as the middle person, you know.
But sometimes we find that as politicians evolve and become more powerful, they go more to the middle, because that's kind of where most Americans are. Kasich is a prime example. He was thought of as being very conservative, socially conservative 20, 30 years ago, and now people almost think of him as being liberal. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I would say he is very centrist, and he's willing to talk, and he's open-minded, and that helps, obviously, as governor of a diverse state like Ohio. Ohio is very, very diverse, and also obviously very important in the presidential election. And as he once again aspires to be president, and who knows, he might win this time. You never quite can figure that one out.
Who's in Arizona, who always has criticized Kasich, and now he tells me he gladly take Kasich over Trump, and we laughed about it on Facebook.
Yeah, and being centrist, I think, would help. So who knows? We'll just when you think you figure things out, you find out that it's actually very different. Speaking of, again, one of my favorite presidents to discuss, that would be Mr. Richard Milhouse Nixon. 44 years ago, as of last Saturday, President Gerald R. Ford, of course, his real name was Leslie King, but I'm sure you already know that, Ron.
Pardon his real name, yeah.
Former President Richard Nixon, immediately undermining his presidency and ensuring his defeat in a close race with Mr. Peanut, that is Jimmy Carter, for a full term in the presidency in the election of 1976.
I wanted to mention about Leslie King, which is Ford's real name, that imagine if Donald Trump had been born Donald King, and he said he almost would like to be a king or be there for life. He could be President King without being a king.
Well, that would be interesting.
yes.
Or we could just call President Ford Les, but, again, he was a football player and, a pipe smoker, kind of a very masculine kind of a guy. And so to me, Jerry kind of seems more like his style. So,
I wanted to mention we did have a presidential candidate, Rufus King, in the early 19th century who lost. But if he had won, he would have been President King, along with Leslie King, Gerald Ford.
Well, that would be interesting. Les King, it's like he'd be less of a king. Well, he was less of a king. He was a president. And the only president who was never elected directly by the people, as we know. So interesting thing about Ford.
And
we both continue to mourn the death of his wife, Betty, who's done so much for the drug problem, and will for a long time, perhaps the most underrated first lady ever. I mean, you talk about outspoken. Just reading more about Betty Ford. She was quite the cool lady, to say the least. I also liked her poofy.
Well, absolutely. I would take her anything. Yeah. She's my favorite Republican first lady.
Also liked her poofy Aquanet 70s style hairdo, too. She was very stylish.
Yes.
And I always had an affection for her, and that affection continues.
Yes, it's like a love affair you have. You're always talking about it.
Yeah, well, it's just interesting. And again, just the idea, and just remembering that Ford was never elected directly, yet he didn't lose by a lot to Mr. Carter. And in retrospect, he is one of the presidents that we think a little more highly of. And the Watergate decision was so
Absolutely,
difficult.
Yes. I wish he was next in line right now rather than Mike Pence. I've told you that.
Yeah, what do you do? He had a difficult time, and he didn't lose by a lot. And if anything,
no, it was very close. It was really Ohio and Hawaii by small margins. Carter won, and Ohio is the state that every president needs to win so far to become president of the United States. And Trump did, well, maybe not legally, but he did win Ohio, assuming the vote count was correct. But it is the crucial state, Hawaii in that case also. But Ohio is really the state. Your state is the state.
Yes, Ohio is the big one, so to speak. Let's go back to a more fun topic. Maybe this show will be a little lighter than others, but that's part of the fun. I think we've covered some serious topics as we need to. But you and I both took that little Facebook quiz, Ron, a few days ago, asking,
yes.
It says everybody is a combination of two presidents. And so I was kind of curious, well, which two presidents am I a combination of? And my answer was, I described it as maybe I'm a combination peanut and carrot. And that would be I was John F. Kennedy and Jimmy Carter. And you got Barack Obama and
Honest
Abe Lincoln.
I was Abraham Lincoln and Barack Obama.
Yeah, Honest Abe Lincoln. Now, of course.
And a couple of my professor friends who are not in my field, they're professors in English or other things, they also took it. And they also got, interestingly, Obama and Lincoln. I thought that was funny that they got the same result that I got. I wonder whether there's anything to do with being a professor. I don't think so, because they were in different fields of study. But they also, two other people said, oh, I got the same result. One actually was history and one was English. And we just thought it was funny.
Now, interestingly, you don't have to grow a beard to be like Lincoln. We've discussed that Dr. Feynman doesn't like beards, and we're not going to talk about why, because it's actually kind of a PG-rated reason. So please look at his Facebook post to find out why he said that. But you actually like that result, Ron. You feel that in many ways you are kind of like Lincoln and Obama. Now, please note that Lincoln was a Republican. You know, a lot of people probably think he was a Democrat. He seems more like a Democrat, but back in the 1800s, the Republican Party was very different, and he helped to found the party. And he's obviously turning over in his grave right now, because the Republican Party that he founded 150 years ago is not like the one we have today.
And he was a Whig, W-H-I-G, before the Whig Party dissolved and the Republicans formed. He was originally a Whig, yes.
And Obama, we do know that Dr. Feynman is a fan of his. And again, they are similar in some ways, both professors, both well-spoken. So there are some similarities there. And my answer, my result.
I like your combination, though. Kennedy and Carter was wonderful.
Yeah, I almost think of myself as being more like Billy Carter, businessman. You know, beer drinker. I'm not a big beer drinker, but I do enjoy one every now and then, and kind of an offbeat sense of humor. Doesn't, you know, I don't mind really saying things that make me sound kind of silly, kind of like Billy. And JFK, I would agree. Very well spoken. Of course, he was also he was also very good looking and youthful looking. So I certainly have that in common with him. So,
but also Carter at that age when he was in office looked very good too.
Yeah. The presidency really aged him, and that was one thing we always seemed to notice. Like every day, he kind of got older every day.
Yeah, but even though he's going to be 94 on October 1st, a few weeks from now, for his age, he looks good.
Yeah,
he looks better than many other people who are 90 that I've met when I do lectures. So considering everything, he's not like he was when he was 50, but I think he still looks pretty good. Yeah. He doesn't look his age.
He still wears a hard hat and builds houses for Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
I mean, God love him. He's an amazing guy.
Yes. Try to imagine Kennedy and Carter meeting, or imagine Lincoln and Obama meeting, what it would be like. I mean, try to imagine how they would look at the ones
who
came
later. I would think Lincoln would be very proud of Obama as our first black president when he was instrumental in freeing the slaves. Do you think that would be the first thing that Lincoln would tell Obama? He said, you've come a long way, baby. So, yeah, meaning that.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think Kennedy would say, wow, a Southern Democrat who became president. By election, the first one since Zachary Taylor, who was a Whig in 1848. Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, thinking about that, Ron, I get off on a tangent, but this is actually kind of interesting. Plus or minus, I know this isn't the exact number, but 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, do you think Lincoln was wondering when he did that when there would be a black president? Would there ever be a black president? And do you think he's very proud right now that 150 years after that we did actually elect one? Is that?
I think he became more and more open-minded and tolerant over his lifetime. Originally, he just looked at it as an issue of expansion of slavery he was against. But then he came to see slavery itself as a moral crisis. So I think he would be I can't obviously know, but I think he would be very proud of that. And I think Kennedy would be very proud of Jimmy Carter, too. You know, he just didn't live long enough because Carter could have been still president with Kennedy alive if he had not Kennedy been assassinated. A big difference in those close in time. So, yeah, I think they would be proud of the person that they were matched with by you and me.
Yeah, and I guess, interestingly, maybe I'm more like Billy Carter. I like to think I'm a little more intelligent, but just that he was a businessman. You know, again, he was a successful gas station owner who he charged Republicans more for gas than he did the Democrats, right? So
they say, I don't know if that's true. That's a joke. Actually.
But he was funny. I mean, he's more intelligent than he was given credit for. But granted, he was no Einstein. Yes. But Carter is considered one of our most intelligent, as in high IQ presidents. So maybe in some ways. But well, I'll agree with Kennedy.
Yeah, A-plus, better than anybody as good as Lincoln.
Yeah, charismatic, excellent speaker.
He's stupid.
I think willing to listen to everybody. He wasn't one to shove his beliefs on people. He knew what he stood for, but he listened, and he was well-spoken and just likable and approachable. He had enough of the boy next door, but enough of the authoritativeness. And I think Obama was like that also, to make him appealing. And so,
speeches really good. You know, they've really been excellent that he came back and spoke. You know, he really knows how to speak. Yes.
Yeah, no question. So I guess that was an interesting quiz. And if you, the listener, are interested, just look for that quiz. Again, which two presidents are you kind of a combination of? And the results were indeed kind of fascinating. And I think in some ways rather true. And it's good to take.
Yeah, I must tell you, and I think some people, depending on their view, could be compared to Donald Trump and Andrew Johnson. I mentioned that in my class yesterday, and they didn't disagree, but they were surprised. I said Andrew Johnson was the only president who really spoke up out loud about his racism after the Civil War. I said, yes, Nixon might have on the Watergate tapes, he might have been anti-Semitic, but he never said it out loud. But I said only Andrew Johnson was openly racist until Donald Trump, and they looked at me and they nodded, because I think that's a way they can be compared, Trump and Andrew Johnson, right after the Civil War. All the others, sure, they have their issues, but they didn't talk about it and enunciate it where we knew it. We might have found out in their writings or in their tapes later, but not in an open way where we all were aware of it.
We also have an article you published a few days ago in the ProgressiveProfessor.com about Supreme Court justices, and that includes the one with a very funny name, Felix Frankfurter. Who was quite appointed by FDR, migrated from an earlier liberal, almost radical view to a clearly conservative view, disappointing many Democrats in the process. And we have Sandra Day O'Connor, again, someone I certainly have an affection for, as the first female on the Supreme Court. My dad met her once. I remember him telling me that story. My understanding, I don't know if we talked about this before, Ron, is that he lied. She told a white lie. I don't want to say she lied. She told a white lie to Mr. Reagan that she was not pro-choice just so he would appoint her. But actually, she was pro-choice. I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know if you heard that story.
She evolved toward that. I think that's what it is. I don't think necessarily she was pro-choice, but people evolved. Like I said in that article, John Paul Stevens, appointed by Gerald Ford, Harry Blackmun, appointed by Nixon, William Brennan and Earl Warren, appointed by Eisenhower, Anthony Kennedy somewhat, and along with O'Connor, appointed by Reagan, and David Souter by the first Bush, all evolved. Now, on the other hand, along with, of course, Felix Frankfurter, one other Democratic appointment, Byron White, who was appointed by Kennedy, turned out to be going over to the conservative side. So we have had 9 justices that surprised us in the last, I guess, what is it, last 85 years, where 7 became more liberal and were appointed by Republicans, and 2 were appointed by Democrats and became more conservative. But since, nobody has developed that way, maybe a little bit with Chief Justice Roberts in some cases, a little bit. But otherwise, I think Alito is predictable, Thomas is predictable, Gorsuch seems to be, and I fear to think that Kavanaugh would be very predictable, and that's bad. You should have some evolution, and these are 9 cases that are reality. But most of them are Republicans becoming more liberal or moderate, only 2 Democrats' appointments becoming more conservative.
Yeah, I don't see Kavanaugh as changing too much. He really does scare me.
The more I'm reading, every day it's becoming more of a nightmare to me, because in the beginning of the week I was still open-minded, and then I said, oh my God, after the incident with the Parkland parents, Mr. Gutenberg and all that, and just more and more information, and not giving all the evidence out, not having all the papers available, and I would think he would have said, I'm willing to wait, and you should have all the information, but he doesn't take that stand. So he's trying to hide things, and that's what's really bad, and the Republicans are allowing it. They're pushing it through after not allowing Merrick Garland to even have a hearing, which is outrageous.
I mean, I don't know, again, if it's true about O'Connor telling the white lie to Reagan. Or, you know, she obviously did evolve, become more liberal. She was a pioneer, the first female on the Supreme Court. For the most part, I agreed with her. She was charismatic. She was very smart. And, you know, we...
She's 87 now.
Yeah,
we... She's in retirement.
Yeah,
Do you know the story of why she retired?
Not really, but I'm sure you know, because you're the...
Okay, she retired in 2006 because her husband had Alzheimer's, and she said, I have to retire to take care of him. She could have stayed even to now. Why not? I mean, Ginsburg is 85, she's 87, but what happened is she retired, he was in a nursing home, and about a year later, he didn't seem to know who she... Well, I guess that's what happens with Alzheimer's. Didn't know who she was, but he was sitting with a woman with his arm around her, and he didn't know who... whose wife was, and he said, this is my girlfriend. And so she realized, oh, my God. And she could have stayed on. She really should not have quit. It's a shame. She could have stayed on, but she showed family values. She wanted to help her husband, and her husband died a year after that. So she could have stayed on the court, and I wish she had. We wouldn't have had Samuel Alito.
Yeah,
it would have been much better if she had stayed all these years.
An honorable person, for sure, and a pioneer who has paved the way for Sotomayor, Ginsburg, and
And by the way,
others.
If she had stayed... and still was there, she'd be there 37 years, longer than William O. Douglas and John Paul Stevens, who who are the ones who are 35 and 36 years. She would have broken the record by now. From 1981 to that would have been 37 years, the longest serving justice. And she's still in good health. She could have stayed, but she left for her husband.
Yeah, an honorable person, and maybe we need more of that in this world. Seems like we're getting less of it.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, time flies when you have fun, as my mama...
Are we really out of time?
We said. Just about, Ron. Yeah, we've talked many things about Kavanaugh.
It's fun, as always.
Yeah. presidential history, Reagan, exactly which presidents the two of us and other people are combinations of, and some pioneers in American history. And just interestingly enough, Lincoln, wondering when he gave the Emancipation Proclamation, how long before there would be a black person in the White House, and get about 150 years, and I think he's up in heaven.
And there's
right.
a chance we'll get another one, Cory Booker or Kamala Harris, in the future.
Yeah.
It's possible. They both got more news this week, being on the Judiciary Committee, questioning Kavanaugh. So they definitely will be candidates. Whether it'll go all the way to winning is another story.
And I think, figuratively, he's up in heaven now, very proud that, even though it took 150 years, took about six generations worth, that we did break that
barrier. There's also cartoons of him holding his head saying they can't believe what's going on with Trump.
definitely on the other side, Lincoln, looking at what's going on currently and shaking his head and being very upset without doubt. But
and Teddy Roosevelt would also be very upset, the second greatest Republican president.
Yeah, life life goes on, and I'm sure between now and our next get-together on the airwaves, there will be a lot more to talk about. There always seems to be.
Yes, and we'll see whether Jeff Sessions gives in and orders an investigation and prosecution of the anonymous person, which, by the way, Trump could not even pronounce anonymous correctly, which is unbelievable, but whether they're going to find who it is and whether they can prosecute him. They can fire the person, but they can't prosecute him for what he writes. That's insane. That's like a dictatorship.
Well, Trump couldn't get his wife's name right, so, I mean, nothing surprises me anymore. So...
Yes.
But anyway, Ron, thank you for joining us again on a fine mid-morning.
Thank you again for inviting me. I have a great time.
Coffee break with Adam and the professor, and have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Thanks.